Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Saving consistently is one of the best ways to achieve your financial goals, but you may not know where to start or how to invest. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals. Then it automatically invests your money for you. Go to acorns.com/FYDJ or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement may not be representative of all clients. Tier 1 compensation provided. Compensation provides an incentive to positively promote Acorns. View important disclosures at acorns.com/FYDJ. Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisors LLC. Acorns is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Securities LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com.
This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want.
Have you ever been asked this in a job interview? Tell me about a time when you didn't agree with your boss. What would you say? This is what's called a behavioral interview question, and it's a common tactic. Employers use this kind of question to explore your fit for a job based on your past experience. It can be an easy question to answer if you have the right strategy. I show you how to answer these gotcha questions in our free MaxList guide, 100 Behavioral Interview Questions You Need to Know. To get your copy, visit maxlist.org/questions. You'll also learn 4 simple steps for answering any behavioral interview question. Again, that's maxlist.org/questions. You can count on getting these questions in your next interview. Why not get the answers before you walk into the interview room? Go to maxlist.org/questions.
Recruiters can be mysterious figures for job seekers, but our guest today says you can build a relationship with any recruiter through networking, online engagement, and using LinkedIn strategically. AJ Eckstein is here to talk about the 3 things you must do to work well with recruiters. He's the founder of the Career Coaching Company. AJ also hosts The Final Round. It's an interview podcast with company recruiters. He joins us from Los Angeles, California. Well, let's jump right into it, AJ. First, I just want to get our definitions in order. When you say recruiters, are we talking about executive recruiters who are hired to fill one position? Is it someone who handles all the hiring for one company, or does it not matter?
I don't think it really matters. I've had the privilege to speak to technical recruiters, general recruiters, sourcers, people from recruiting agencies. And at the end of the day, they're trying to bring in talent to a company. And what I've realized is no matter what the company name is or the logo is or the industry, they're all looking for the same thing, and how to interact with them is really a secret recipe that I'm excited to share today on the Find Your Dream Job podcast.
What kind of expectations should job seekers have in working with recruiters? I'm sure you've met job seekers, and I actually had this notion too, that if I could just find the right recruiter, all my problems would be solved. But how does it really work, AJ?
The first expectation you need to have is that for the most part, recruiters are very busy and they receive a lot of outreach. So knowing that they receive a lot of outreach, you must be differentiated in how you outreach to recruiters. So I think the first thing with networking, and ironically, one of my favorite quotes from actually our first guest, one was a recruiter on the Final Round podcast, was a recruiter from Boston Consulting Group. And he says, you should network when you don't need anything. And that quote really stuck with me because I think so many people only network when they need a job or they need to get an interview, or maybe they're a junior or senior in college and they know that they're about to start recruiting. But networking is not just, you know, a 4 or 8 unit class that you take once and then you complete it, you get your job and that's it. But networking is something where you actually do even beyond the company that you recruit for. I mean, I'm currently at a consulting company and I do more networking now within the company than I did to even get the job. So I think that you need to understand that networking is really about building organic relationships and not just about trying to get something transactionally.
Well, let's talk about networking in a moment. Thinking about recruiters, many people struggle with finding recruiters in the first place. So before you begin networking with recruiters, what's your best advice, AJ, for finding these folks?
Well, I think we're so lucky today than, you know, people were 5-10 years ago that we have access to LinkedIn. And LinkedIn is not just a place where you can find opportunities, but it's also a place where it acts as a database to find recruiters. So you can use the job description, and if a recruiter is listed on there, great. But if not, and you see that it's maybe a marketing analyst role at a certain company, you can do advanced filtering for free on LinkedIn. You do not need to pay for LinkedIn Premium, and do some advanced filtering and almost make educated guesses at who the recruiter is. Sometimes it's going to be very obvious and they'll literally be posting about the opportunity that you're looking for and you can reach out asking questions. Or it's going to be someone who maybe is not as active on LinkedIn and they're not posting about these opportunities, but at the same time it sees that it says recruiter, you know, actively looking for marketing analysts or marketing talent. So I think that people do a blanket one size fits all approach. And I did this early on as well, where you just reach out to any person that says recruiter at Google, for instance. But you can only imagine how many recruiters there are at these very large companies. So spend some time actually filtering and getting, instead of 1,000 people, get it down to maybe 5 or 10 people and then start outreaching, because it's going to be much more targeted to what you want to do and there's a higher response rate.
What's your best advice for building that short list? Because as you say, the choices can be overwhelming. So how do you get from 1,000 to 5?
So I would first start obviously with the company, then try filtering it based on recruiter. Some companies call it talent acquisition specialist, talent acquisition manager, sourcer. If you're going for a technical role, it should be a technical recruiter, not just a general recruiter. So once you understand almost the nomenclature, right, or the jargon of how people classify their employees in the recruiting field, then you start to see, okay, well, what office am I going for? Am I going for a West Coast office? Am I going for East Coast office? Because I might be going for, you know, the Google office in San Francisco, and I find a perfect recruiter who is in the marketing side of the company, but he or she might be only recruiting for, you know, opportunities in New York. And that still could be helpful, but it's not as helpful as someone in the office. So I would say that the next thing should be location. And then once you get it down to location, and then also the field, for instance, if it's marketing, if it's business development, if it's sales, these large companies will really divide based on their business segments. Then you try to see, well, what similarities can I draw with these people? And we'll talk more about similarities in a second when you're actually outreaching to them. But if you see that there's a recruiter who works at Google, who's in the San Francisco office, who went to maybe the same school as you, that's a similarity. Or maybe you're coming from a company in the tech field and this person also worked at the same company or a similar company, that's a similarity. So you want to try to build that warm connection when you reach out and have some similarities, because if you think about your friends are often very similar to you, right? I think the old saying is that if you want to know more about Mac, let's say, you look at his 5 best friends and it's an average of the 5. So people want to talk to people who have similarities. So try to draw and touch on those similarities versus just reaching out and saying, hi, recruiter, my name is AJ, and I'm interested at a Google opportunity, because the similarities will go a long way.
So know the company that you want to work at or that interests you, know the location, the city or the state, and you'll also have to know the kind of job that interests you too, don't you, AJ?
Absolutely. And I would say that if you're having trouble finding the exact recruiter, if you talk to people in the, let's say, marketing team at Google, you can ask them to point you towards the recruiter. People inside the company will have much more understanding of how it works internally than you'll find externally. So maybe you're having a great coffee chat with, you know, a marketing manager on a certain product at Google and ask them questions and say you want to learn more about the opportunities. They'll direct you to the recruiter. You just have to ask. Right. So don't always just rely on research, but just ask questions. I think that is such an important part that people don't understand with reaching out and networking.
So you know the company where you want to work, you know the location and the position you want, and you've identified the recruiter who's responsible for those jobs. What's the next step, AJ? How do you approach this person?
So you must add a tailored note or a tailored message specifically on LinkedIn. If you can find their email, maybe their email is in the job description, great. You can go ahead and cold email them. But I actually think that people prefer that random or cold outreach on LinkedIn, and you must add a note. But I think that there's a lot of advice that I've heard from maybe, you know, other career coaches or people in the industry that they say add a note on LinkedIn when you go to connect with someone, but they leave it at that. So people have this generic template. And again, I fell into the trap as well when I was recruiting of having that generic template of briefly talking about who you are, what you're doing, and what you want. But I think the issue with that is that it's not tailored to Mac, right? It's not tailored to who you're applying, who you're reaching out to. So it's important to do some research, not only on getting the recruiter's name, but go through their profile. People have so much information today about where they went to school, what organizations they were in on campus, right? Maybe they're in a certain employee resource group at their company and you fall into that, you know, that diversity side of the company. Those are all so important. And reach out and make it tailored, because again, it's the same thing. You want to meet people who are somewhat similar to you and have those similarities. So reaching out, again, make a tailored message, right? And know that it is not about you, but it's about the person you're reaching out to. So a lot of people, you know, I've received outreach messages as well, and people say, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I say, that's all great, but you know, where do I fit in? So remember that, tailor it to the person, and then throw in your specific story and how that fits into what they're doing.
And what are you asking for in that first message, AJ?
So it really depends on what you're looking for. I think a lot of people will reach out and just say hi. And I think that is the biggest mistake, because it takes time for me to say hi back. And then you say, how are you? And I say, good, how are you? It's just people are busy. So I think with that initial outreach message, it needs to be clear, needs to be concise. And your CTA, your call to action, needs to be very clearly stated. And oftentimes, I think the best thing to ask for to a recruiter is either to learn more about an opportunity that maybe they're recruiting for. Let's say that they just posted something on LinkedIn about a specific role at, we'll go with the example of Google, and you have that marketing experience and you went to the same school and you want to learn more about it. But ideally, you can actually schedule a coffee chat with them, maybe virtually, and schedule a few minutes. It could be 15 minutes, it could be 30 minutes. And you know, not everyone will say yes, but it's also a numbers game. You don't just outreach to one recruiter and wait a year until they respond. You outreach to a ton of people very strategically and make sure that you have a clear and tailored outreach message. You're asking for a coffee chat to learn more about the position. And if it's a good mutual fit, the recruiter will often either refer you for the position, or they'll pass you on to an analyst or someone else on the team that is actually hiring for that role. That's a great way to get your foot in the door, other than just applying into a black hole on a company's website and never actually seeing the light of day at the end of the tunnel.
This is great. I want to take a quick break, AJ. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with AJ Eckstein about the three things you must do to work well with recruiters.
Ageism in hiring is against the law. It's also a fact of life in today's job market. If you're an older worker like me, you face an uphill climb when you look for your next job. I want to help you overcome those odds, so I've put my best job interview advice for older workers into one new guide. It's called How to Fight Ageism in a Job Interview, and it gives you the skills you need to beat the barriers older workers often face. Visit maxlist.org/fightageism. You'll learn why you should embrace your age rather than run from it, how to talk about the taboo topic of age, and what you can do to diffuse age as a factor in hiring. Get your free copy of How to Fight Ageism in a Job Interview today. Visit maxlist.org/fightageism. Be prepared before you walk into the interview room. Go to maxlist.org/fightageism. We're back in the Max List studio. I'm talking with AJ Eckstein. He's the founder of the Career Coaching Company. AJ also hosts The Final Round. It's an interview podcast with company recruiters. And AJ joins us from Los Angeles, California. AJ, before the break, we're talking about networking with recruiters. And I'm wondering about that, maintaining those relationships. You know, you reach out, you have that virtual or post-pandemic in-person coffee meeting. How do you maintain that relationship?
Well, I'm so happy that you brought this up, Mac, because I think that, you know, I've given my time on the weekends. I've reached out to a ton of people and they've given me time. And it's obviously something that you pay forward as you go through your career journey. But very few people do a good job of actually continuing that relationship and continuing to nurture those relationships. And I think the best way to do it is to actually have a spreadsheet, for instance, on Excel, and you track all of your connections at whatever company they're at. You put, you know, their name, you put their contact information, their email, phone number, where they're at, also their LinkedIn profile. But the biggest thing is you take down notes of what you discussed. Because if I'm talking to Mac, right, and Mac is a recruiter at this consulting company, and we had a great conversation, and he said to reach out to these three people. And he also said, I said, what are you doing for 4th of July weekend? And he says, oh, I'm going to Europe to visit family. You know, when you follow up, and you should follow up, I would say after a few weeks or a few months, it shouldn't be a cold follow-up, as in, hey, Mac, how are you? It should be, hey, Mac, thanks so much for connecting me to those three people at the consulting company that you discussed. I reached out to them. It went great. We talked about X, Y, and Z. Also, how was your Europe trip over 4th of July weekend? I remember talking about that. And that is how you continue to talk about what you discussed previously versus starting from zero and Mac saying, wait, AJ, who are you? Because people reach out to me a ton. Who are you and what did we discuss? So I think having that spreadsheet, remembering to follow up every few weeks or few months, and just a simple check-in. It can be a simple note on LinkedIn or a message saying, hey, Mac, how are you? Or maybe you saw a news article about the company that, you know, one of you are working at. Say, hey, Mac, saw this news article, was thinking of you, hope all is well. And just staying kind of in each other's head, because you never know when you can help each other grow into something else or another opportunity.
And that's a long game. It's a smart one. But what do you say to somebody who needs a job now? How can they move the relationship along faster?
So I think if you're reaching out to someone about a specific opportunity, the person on the other end of the table, whether it's a recruiter or a hiring manager or someone who works at the company, knows why you're reaching out. And I think it's totally fine to be transparent. I hate people who try to, you know, walk or dance around the fact that they're trying to get something out of this relationship. But that's fine as long as you're transparent about it, you're respectful, you're asking good questions, and maybe you can see how you can help me. And I think a great way to think about it is you're not taking up someone else's time, but you're actually benefiting the other person by allowing them to give back. Because I don't care who, you know, whatever person at whatever company, at whatever position, if it's a CEO or if it's an analyst or an intern, to get to that position, people have reached out before you and have networked. Everyone networks to get to a certain place, right? Maybe some more versus others. And it's a way to give back and take a second to say, okay, I feel good about myself helping this person. And, you know, make sure that you follow up with them and you keep them posted. If I refer you for an opportunity, that shouldn't be the last time I hear from you. You should let me know if you got the opportunity or if you got an interview with a hiring manager, or even if you didn't get it, that's totally fine. But thank me for the time that we spent, and then maybe ask me for some more advice or ask me what direction you should go. Because I think if someone's going to refer you or take time out of their day or weekend to talk to you, make sure that you thank that person and keep them up to date of what's going on.
Well, could you talk more, AJ, about how you can move the process along faster when you are, if you don't have the time for building long-term relationships and you're working with a recruiter? Are there steps you can take to help you get a job sooner?
Yeah. So I think that's another great question. I would say you need to get noticed by the recruiter, because again, the recruiter has so much outreach. Think of them as a mail room, and that they just get, you know, an influx of mail every day. And it's trying to sift through thousands of packages and letters and messages and emails and phone calls and things that they have to do at the company. So another really good way, other than, again, making that really nice tailored message of exactly what you're looking for and how you can help each other, is to engage with their content on LinkedIn. And not every recruiter is going to be actively posting on LinkedIn, but for the most part, I would say 9 out of 10 recruiters have posted on LinkedIn. And there are some who are trying to be maybe LinkedIn influencers who actively post about, you know, what they're doing and opportunities. But what I mean by engage with their content is not just like their posts. It doesn't mean just comment agreed for what Mac posted. But the biggest thing is commenting and adding some insight. So there was a recruiter we had on the show from Tesla. Her name is Anastasia. And she would post about you know, the biggest mistakes that she sees candidates make, or she was reviewing resumes that day and she saw that these are three resumes that stood out and why. Don't just say, I agree, but talk about, you know, hey, Anastasia, in the comments, hey, Anastasia, I'm so happy that you brought up these three things because of, you know, this reason. And I appreciate your time. And it was so great to read this post. Something that shows some insight, maybe it asks a question where it says, is this also a mistake? And let them respond. And again, you're talking offline. It's not a virtual coffee chat, but it's a great way to get your name remembered. And that's actually how I was able to get one of the recruiters we had on the show from Airbnb. It was a funny story. I reached out to her. Her name is Marissa. And she said, oh, I know your name. And I said, how do you know my name? And she says, oh, well, we've never met, but I've seen your name float around LinkedIn. You've engaged with my posts. So not many people are actively engaging with recruiters on LinkedIn. They're going after hiring managers, or they're going after company profiles, whatever it is. But spend some time when you see those posts to add insightful questions or comments. And the biggest piece of advice I can give everyone is tag the person who wrote that piece of content, because they will get notified, versus if you just add something, it might just get lost in translation. So if you tag the person, I will guarantee you they will respond, or at least like what you said. And that's a great way to get noticed on LinkedIn and have your name be a warm connection when you reach out.
How much time do you recommend listeners spend posting these kinds of LinkedIn comments and doing this kind of engagement in a typical week?
So I don't think that there's necessarily a number that I can say that if you spend, you know, 5 minutes a day engaging with recruiters' content, that's going to land you a job. Obviously, if you're actively searching for a job, that I would say spend more time doing this. But ideally, you're a little bit younger and you're maybe new to LinkedIn, or you're not actively looking for something. Again, going back to that first point of networking, where you don't need anything, because you never know when you could reach out to that person in need of an opportunity. But if you are actively looking for that, you know, that role, and you find those ideal recruiters who have some similarities, try to see if you can engage with their content and at least have them respond to you before you reach out. Because again, I'm going to answer or give someone time in my free time from someone I know, or at least their name somewhat looks familiar, versus a random person reaching out that I've never met or never heard of.
How can building your brand on LinkedIn help you develop a relationship with recruiters?
So building your digital or personal brand is so important, because recruiters will go to LinkedIn as well as your resume to see who you are and what you're about. And, you know, one of the coolest facts that I saw that when I was interviewing a LinkedIn recruiter is out of the 740 plus million users on LinkedIn, only 1% of users share content on a weekly basis. So you can only imagine the room for growth and opportunity there, and that there are not many people posting on LinkedIn. And I think that you first have to check off and make sure that your LinkedIn is optimized and up to date, which means adding a profile picture, adding a background image, making sure it's all relevant with your experiences, quantify what you're doing, add some volunteer experience, add interests, and that should all be set in stone before you start posting on LinkedIn. But once you feel that almost your digital resume or your landing page is good to go on LinkedIn, then it's time to start posting on LinkedIn. And I think a lot of people, including myself, thought, well, I'm not a subject matter expert. I don't have anything to say. I haven't been in, let's say, consulting for 40 years. Why would people want to hear from me? But it's not necessarily just thought leadership where you have to be an expert in something. But I think some of the coolest things that I've seen is you talk about your story. Maybe it's a rejection story that you got rejected from Ivy League, and you talk about ways in which you're, you know, changing that. Or maybe your story is that you worked a few minimum wage jobs and now you're at, you know, a certain opportunity to get to your dream goal of another company, right? I think people love seeing other people talk about their personal stories, as well as experiences, any advice that you receive. Maybe you just finished freshman year and share with other people who are going to be graduating from high school, going to be a freshman, want to talk about their experiences. Maybe there are some lessons learned through your internship. You're still going for full-time jobs, but what are the lessons learned about maybe working virtually? And the last one would be about announcements. Maybe you're announcing a past opportunity. You're announcing that, you know, maybe I'm going to be announcing that I was on the Find Your Dream Job podcast, right? So all of those things are ideas for what to post. But again, it's how to be known on LinkedIn, how to build your brand, post on LinkedIn. Again, it's just like sharing a story. It's like a personal blog. And I promise you it will pay dividends in the long term.
How do you decide how much personal content to share, because it is a professional platform. It's about careers and jobs. What's your best advice, AJ, about what kinds of personal stories to share and which ones you just might want to keep to yourself?
So I think the first part of that question about how often you should post is, again, I don't think there's a magic number. I personally post because I enjoy to post. I have a repository. I have a folder on my computer of old ideas that come to my head, and I'll have some that make it on LinkedIn and others that are kind of in the graveyard folder that never make it on LinkedIn. But I think the best way to know if you should post it or not on LinkedIn is, A, is someone going to benefit from it? And then B, is it a good reflection of your story or what you're doing or what you want to do? And I think those two items should be the guiding principles for all of your content. Even if no one engages with your content, I guarantee you that one person scrolled through it, saw it, found some sort of use, but maybe never liked it. And I remember that early on, I think my first post, I had zero people comment or like the post. And, you know, of course I could have been dejected at that point. But now fast forward a few months, I'm almost at 10,000 followers. I have a ton of engagement on my posts, and I have people reach out to me, you know, constantly thanking me for content that I share because it's helpful to them. So the first thing I would say is do whatever feels right for you. If it's once a week, once a month, a few times a week, do what's right for you. And the second thing of, you know, what to post, again, just be honest on LinkedIn. It doesn't have to be only when you're talking about the congratulatory post of announcing that you got a job offer at Google, but it could be an honest story or honest advice or a favorite class that you've taken. Again, the opportunities are endless, but I would say definitely have that professional flair because recruiters, hiring managers, they're looking at this types of content.
Well, it's been a great conversation. Now tell us, AJ, what's next for you?
So we're actually wrapping up season one of the Final Round podcast in the next few weeks. And again, we interview recruiters, and we thought, what better type of guest to interview for season two than hiring managers. So the podcast actually goes through a typical flow of a recruitment and interview process, starting with that recruiter and then going into hiring managers. So we'll be wrapping up season one in the next few weeks, starting season two. And then we're also launching a YouTube channel that has all of the recordings of the podcast. And then lastly, I'm actually in the process of writing a book where I'm sharing the experience of what it's like to interview all these amazing people, again, with the goal to share insight and help people advance past the final round interview and land their dream job.
I know people can learn more about all your projects and your services by visiting your website. That's careercoachingcompany.com/podcast. Now, AJ, given all the useful tips you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about the three things you must do to work well with recruiters?
The biggest thing I could tell people is to get involved and build your story early, because all of the outreach will be so much easier if you're a unique person who has something to share. There are so many people that I, you know, met throughout school, both at community college, high school, an actual four-year university, and they just went through the flow of taking classes and then recruiting when you're supposed to recruit for jobs. But I think the people who have the easiest time recruiting and actually landing opportunities is those who go out of their way to make a difference in their community, to pursue what they're passionate about, to start an organization or get involved in an organization. And it makes it so much easier to reach out to people when you have that story. So try to find your why and use that why to guide you to what company you want to pursue, how to outreach to recruiters, and remember these three parts in terms of successfully reaching out to recruiters and landing those interviews.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/show notes. Again, that's maxlist.org/show notes. Next week, our guest will be Kevin D. Turner. He's the managing partner of TNT Brand Strategist in Dallas, Texas. You are unique. Nobody else has your exact mix of skills and experience. And when you show what makes you different, says Kevin, you enjoy an advantage over other applicants. Join us next Wednesday when Kevin D. Turner and I talk about how to leverage your unique value to get your next job. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.